You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
Hello and welcome. The election fever has already kicked in. It is not 2019 and it is not time for the general elections yet, but the curtain raiser of the five states going into assembly polls over the course of the next month is going to set us up for the general election mood. What we are going to talk about today is going to be about how anti-incumbency is at work in some of the states going into the polls in November. My name is Rakesh. This is Editor's Pick of the Day and you're listening to Money Control.
Editor's Pick of the Day. Is anti-incumbency playing a role in the upcoming assembly polls?
Let's start things off with Madhya Pradesh and Rajasthan. The Bharatiya Janata Party is likely to deny tickets to many sitting MLAs in Madhya Pradesh and Rajasthan, the two states it had swept in 2013, but where it is now facing a renewed challenge from the Congress in a bid to stave off any anti-incumbency in the assembly polls. Party sources have gone on to tell PTI. They said the party may also not give tickets to three more sitting MLAs in Chhattisgarh, where it is yet to name candidates for 13 seats, including four held by it. The party has already denied tickets to 14 of the 49 legislators who had won the last time. The sources also played down surveys predicting an edge for the Congress in Rajasthan and asserted that there may have been some communication gap within the party earlier, but things have changed. A party leader went on to claim that they will come to power in all three states, that is Rajasthan, Chhattisgarh and Madhya Pradesh. Though the party leader did not elaborate on the likely number of MLAs the party may not field in Madhya Pradesh and Rajasthan, he said such a decision would be based on feedback from organization and independent assessment carried out by the party. Political observers say denying tickets to the MLAs seen to be unpopular in their constituencies may help the party placate voters to some extent. BJP sources said Madhya Pradesh Chief Minister Shivraj Singh Chauhan remains a popular leader and the first choice of the state's voters for the top post. BJP sources also said, and I quote, "In such a scenario when the main face of the government is popular, any so-called anti-incumbency can be effectively countered with some measures, including dropping unpopular MLAs." The BJP, especially after Prime Minister Narendra Modi and its President Amit Shah's ascent to leadership, has relied on intensive field work to select its candidates. It has not shied away from dropping any incumbent lawmaker who it believes may have become a liability or whose replacement has a better prospect at the hustings. In the 230-member Madhya Pradesh Assembly and 200-member Rajasthan Assembly, the BJP had won 165 and 163 seats, respectively, in the 2013 polls. The party has been in power in Madhya Pradesh and Chhattisgarh, whose assembly has 90 members since 2003, while in Rajasthan it has been in power for one term now. On to Chhattisgarh now. Up to 25% tickets can be changed by the BJP for the upcoming assembly elections in Chhattisgarh, said senior party leader and cabinet minister Brijmohan Agrawal, asserting there is no anti-incumbency against the Raman Singh-led government in the state. Debunking suggestions of differences between him and Raman Singh, he said there may be some differences on certain issues, but there are no hard feelings between them. Agrawal went on to say, and I quote, "There is no infighting in the party. I have very cordial relations with the chief minister. There are no hard feelings between us. Maybe the approach is different on some issues," unquote. Talking about anti-incumbency, he said there may be discontent against some individuals, and that is why political parties get surveys done ahead of the elections to decide on tickets. He said, and I quote, "25% tickets are likely to be changed in the BJP. I'm sure when tickets are changed, then people will again be with the BJP. People may be angry with some individuals for different personal reasons, but they're not anti-BJP," unquote. Polls for the 90-member Chhattisgarh Assembly are due this year end. Agrawal also made light of the recent tie-up between Ajit Jogi's Janata Congress Chhattisgarh and Mayawati's Bahujan Samaj Party, saying it would not hurt the BJP, which has its voters intact, but would be detrimental to the Congress. He said, and I quote, "If the BSP and Jogi fight elections together, then it is very beneficial for the BJP. The party has got its own support base and voters. Our vote bank is intact. People from all castes and creeds are with the BJP due to different development works done by us. We will surely get more votes this time as well and form the government," unquote. He claimed Jogi was the B-team of the Congress, contrary to his perceived closeness with Raman Singh. He went on to say, and I quote, "Ajit Jogi is the B-team of the Congress. Congress apni bala talne ke liye aisi koshish karti hai. Congress says this to get rid of its own problem. In reality, Jogi is Congress's B-team," he went on to add. Citing the dual party system in Chhattisgarh and neighbouring Madhya Pradesh, he said the main fight, if at all that happens, in the assembly polls will only be between the BJP and the Congress. He said Jogi will only divide some votes, but he won't be able to take away any result-oriented votes. Agarwal holds charge of Water Resources Department, Agriculture and Biotechnology, Animal Husbandry and Fisheries, among others. He said elections in the state will be fought in the name of Raman Singh, the Chief Minister, and Prime Minister Narendra Modi. He said, and I quote, "It is known to everyone now that the elections will be fought in the name of Raman Singh and Prime Minister Narendra Modi, but what will happen in the time to come with regards to the Chief Minister's post, that will be decided by the party. And whatever the party decides, everyone will have to agree to it," unquote. He, however, said that the BJP is a disciplined party and everyone gets what they deserve. "I have never asked anything from the party. It decides everything after analysing the eligibility of individuals," he said. Agarwal said the BJP will form its government for the fourth consecutive term in the state. Let's dig a little deeper into the Madhya Pradesh situation. Nachiket Deuskar, writing for Money Control, says that Madhya Pradesh is gearing up to elect a new assembly in November. It is expected to be a heated contest between the incumbent Bharatiya Janata Party and the Indian National Congress. One opinion poll has already stated that the Congress is the favourite here. The BJP government, led by Chief Minister Shivraj Singh Chauhan, is facing a tide of anti-incumbency after being in power for 15 years. Chauhan has been at the helm of affairs for 13 of those 15 years. The state, called the Heart of Hindustan in its tourism campaign, will vote in a single-phase election on the 28th of November. The tenure of the current assembly is slated to end on the 7th of January 2019. The counting will take place on the 11th of December, along with that for Chhattisgarh, Mizoram, Rajasthan and Telangana. We've done a detailed podcast about what we can expect and what is at stake in each of these five states only yesterday, so I would encourage you to take a listen to that as well. Now, speaking of Madhya Pradesh, except for the two brief Janata Party and Samyukta Vidhayak Dal governments, elections in Madhya Pradesh have largely been a binary contest head-to-head between the BJP and the Congress. The BJP has been central in the state's politics ever since it first came to power in 1990. Madhya Pradesh was in fact one of the first states where BJP came to power. The Saffron Party's grip over the state has only tightened over time. The Congress governed Madhya Pradesh from the 1st of November 1956, when the state was formed, all the way to 1967. That is about 11 years. After Samyukta Vidhayak Dal government that lasted around a year and a half, Congress regained power and continued till 1977. The state's 6th assembly witnessed three chief ministers from the Janata Party in less than 3 years. Between 1977 and 1980, Madhya Pradesh saw three chief ministers from the Janata Party. Between 80 and 90, Congress's Arjun Singh and Motilal Vora became the chief minister twice each. Digvijay Singh then served as the chief minister for two terms between 1993 and 2003. Critics have often attributed BJP's subsequent success in the state of Madhya Pradesh to a rather forgettable tenure by Digvijay Singh. Congress has remained out of power for the past 15 years now, that is, since 2003. When I spoke to you last time about the state of these five states before going into the polls, I spoke a little bit about how Madhya Pradesh has tended to vote in these elections, but let's dig a little deeper this time. In the last three assembly polls, BJP has commanded a vote share far higher than the Congress in Madhya Pradesh. In 2013, that is the last assembly elections, BJP had a vote share of 44.8%. That's almost 45% across the state, while the Congress came in second with about 36.38% of the votes. Bahujan Samaj Party and Samajwadi Party picked up 6.29% and 1.2% of the votes respectively. So the BJP got the gold medal, the Congress came in with the silver, and GGP, which polled 5.38% of the votes, ended with the bronze, and BSP and SP with 6.29% and 1.2% of the votes respectively got whatever comes after bronze. Independent candidates picked up a total of 1.9% of the votes across the state. None of the above option, that is the Nota option, which was introduced ahead of the polls, was opted by 1.9% voters in the state. The vote share translated into BJP winning a whopping 165 seats, while the Congress bagged 58 seats only. BSP had won 4 seats, while independent candidates clinched 3 seats. BJP's vote share significantly rose from what was 37.64% in 2008. In the 2008 polls, a swing of votes had benefited the Congress, which although finished second, garnered a vote share of 32.39%. The 2008 polls were the first for BJP under Shivraj Singh Chauhan's stewardship. That same year, the BSP, that is the Bahujan Samaj Party of Mayawati, registered its best performance in recent times with a vote share of just under 9%. SP and GGP picked up around 2 and 1.69% of the voters respectively back then. Independent candidates together pulled 8.23% of the votes across the states. The numbers suggest that in the 2008 assembly polls, BSP, SP, GGP and the independent candidates had gained at the expense of both the BJP and the Congress. 5 years earlier, in the 2003 assembly polls, the performance of political parties was similar to what was witnessed in 2013. BJP, riding on an anti-incumbency wave against the then Congress Chief Minister Digvijay Singh, had received a 42.5% vote share. Congress managed to secure 31.6%. This was followed by 7.26% of the votes for the BSP and 3.71% of the votes for the Samajwadi Party. The GGP, having contested 61 seats, managed to receive a little over 7% of the votes. Independent candidates won a total of 7.7% votes across the state. So if you were to map it all on a graph, the Congress has seen a steady decline, 36.3, 32.3 and 31.6 in the last three assembly elections, whereas the BJP's fortunes, while of course remaining the frontrunner, has yo-yoed a little bit, 44.8 in 2003, 37.6 in 2008 and back to 42.5 in 2013. With the majority mark in the 230-member assembly being 116, Congress would require a vote swing of at least 5% in their favour to win the election, as per NDTV. Mayawati-led Bahujan Samaj Party's decision to contest separately may also impact the Congress. The BSP has an influence in around 41 seats of the state, including a very strong influence in at least 13 seats in the Gwalior-Chambal region. The region has also attained importance as the epicentre of the SCST protests in the state. Opinion polls have predicted a tough battle between the Congress and the BJP. Some surveys indicate that other parties, including the Bahujan Samaj Party, could also clinch a few seats and play possible kingmaker. In Rajasthan, Vasundhara Raje has been facing anti-incumbency, and it has been made clear in another poll which suggested that Sachin Pilot, the state president of the Congress party in Rajasthan, is the firm favourite of the voters when it comes to the chief ministerial candidate. And that poll also went on to suggest that Congress may in fact win the highest number of seats in Rajasthan, and that the odds of that happening was the highest in Rajasthan compared to the other three polls where Congress and BJP are going head to head. There are clear signs of the BJP's discomfort in Rajasthan. Its headquarters in Jaipur is deserted, according to a report on First Post. The cadre is missing from the ground, and central leadership is making every effort to create the impression that apart from Chief Minister Vasundhara Raje, many other state leaders would be part of the candidate selection process. Two MPs, Arjun Ram Meghwal and Gajendra Singh Shekhawat, have emerged as power centres. There are many theories, according to First Post, about Raje's perceived loss of popularity. One is that she became a victim of the perception that she doesn't have a good equation with Narendra Modi and BJP President Amit Shah, who continue to be the epicenter of all BJP activity even now, even at the state level. This may or may not be true, but hardcore Modi supporters do not have the kind of trust in her they repose in other BJP chief ministers. According to First Post, the biggest disadvantage of the shadow of doubt and the resultant uncertainty that followed Raje throughout her tenure has been her inability to get things moving on the ground. This led to the perception of Raje being a non-performer. Raje is one of the most dynamic chief ministers within the BJP Parivar. She has a huge mass base, a broad vision and courage. But insecurity and palace intrigue probably kept her distracted for a long time, and as a result, governance has suffered. Now, even though she's working away at a frenetic pace like the sort you would see with a student trying to finish the last 15 minutes of his exam paper, there is a limit to what she can put on the exam paper. Raje's other problem, apparently, is her inability to interact freely with party leaders, workers and general public. By temperament and instinct, she trusts only a handful of people in her staff and bureaucracy. But as is the case with every cabal, people in her inner circle have been motivated more by self-preservation and self-aggrandizement. And since Raje has been cut off from the world, she can't get a feel of the mood on the ground or address grievances. As a result, she appears to be facing a wave of anti-incumbency, almost seen as aloof and not reachable to the party workers and indeed the general public. So a perceived lack of closeness with BJP President Amit Shah and Narendra Modi, a perceived inability to get things moving around, and a perceived aloofness when it comes to interacting with the general public as well as the BJP party workers within Rajasthan may be the trio that could answer the anti-incumbency question that Vasundhara Raje is facing in Rajasthan. Will Rajasthan remember its Modi love and choose to elect Vasundhara Raje still in the assembly polls, or will it get rid of the BJP government and still come back for Modi in the general elections? We'll find out all of that soon enough, but about Vasundhara Raje's own situation in Rajasthan, we will find out on the 7th of December when Rajasthan goes to vote, and counting will take place on the 11th of December.
Editor's pick of the day. Is anti-incumbency playing a role in the upcoming assembly polls?
When we come back on Monday, our story of that day, we've already decided, is going to be a look at the key factors that are going to move the polls this time around. We've already discussed a few key features here and there, but that'll be a comprehensive guide to understanding what is happening in these five assembly polls. So that's one reason for you to come back. And of course, the market updates will also begin then. Until the next time I see you, this is me, Rakesh, on behalf of the Money Control Podcast Desk, saying thank you for joining us, and do stay logged on to moneycontrol.com and listen to the podcasts to be a smart listener and an even smarter investor.
This has been today's Editor's Pick. And you've been listening to Money Control.